To that point, now we've found the bestseller, the most popular nonfiction bestseller. That's a topic we can compile. Now, tell me how we find that market that is buying that book. Okay, we're not
sure.
What
you do is you call Eric Weinstein at 304-291-9400. Tell him Gary Halbert told you to call.
Give me a break. Say it again.
No, it's 481-9400 in the 305 area code. Eric Weinstein. Don't call him if you're just a wannabe or a dreamer and screwing around, because he won't talk to you. Yeah. But if you're serious about doing that, call a good list broker. Let me tell you something. All of you people here in direct mail, if you do not form an association with a good list broker, you are missing the single most valuable asset you can have on your side besides me. That's really true. That's really... No, I won't. You get it the first couple times?
If you subscribe to Gary Halbert's newsletter.
No, it's 305, Rita, 305-481-9400. And if you look in DM News or Direct Marketing Magazine, every issue is that we'll have list brokers in there that you can deal with, some in your hometown, or some in at least a nearby big city there. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Gary. Isn't it nice to have Gary Halbert here to come up here and kind of straighten things out for us? We went by our offices at lunch, and those who went with us discovered Jackson Crowe. Jackson is a world-renowned musician who has moved to Hot Springs for health reasons and other reasons. And Jackson hangs out at our studio. And as a matter of fact, the reason Jackson was in our studio today is that he's been doing a videotape for me, no charge. Because I'm marketing it, and it's going to make him provide him more publicity. Of course, I also allow Jackson to use my studio anytime he wants. So it works out that when you're looking for experts to be on videotape or for anything else, you have to find out what they want and give it to them. And a lot of these people are not greedy. I mean, what they want is simplification in their life. And if you can give them simplification, you know, they may think, you know, you may think, I want to do a video of you, and I'm going to give you the rights to market it yourself so you can make as much money. All I want is the rights to market it myself through my channels. They'll say, you're exactly what I'm looking for. Somebody just take care of the whole thing for me. And it'll give you a product. And like Gary says, you can take products like that, package them up with other products, and have lots of stuff to sell. We're going to take a break now, just because it's late in the afternoon, and I don't want anybody to fall asleep. We're going to take a 10-minute break, and I want you all back in here at 3:50, please.
We usually, we're closer to the 5% royalty. Most of my deals are closer to 5%, could be 7%, 7.5%, but between 5 and 10%. It's really a good, fast way to get something that's already selling, if you don't want to go through the...
Yeah, Ted, the royalty thing, you were talking about having your...
Would you stand up? Who's talking?
Yeah, Ted, the royalty thing, when you talked about having your own printers do the reprinting, and you're not buying the books from that publisher, what do you have to do? To take account on the books to give him his 10% of what his cost or royalty would have been?
Yes. Well, you see, in enterprise publishing, what you want to do, my whole company is built on developing a reputation for trust with everybody we deal with. And when a company is working with you and you're sending royalties, we send royalties to authors every 6 months, royalty, and they would be included in the authorship, and just our computer just prints out the royalty report and they get their payments. In other words, they know we're real and all kinds of other things. I believe being square with everybody, and then they know you're real, and the next time they're going to want to do business, they'll come to you with they'll come to you with product. Many people come to Enterprise. Do you want the mail order rights for this, that, and the other thing? Because we've gotten off in other companies and other businesses with people coming to us for rights because they happen to like our advertising or approaches. So.
Well, I just want to find out.
I know this has got to vary, but what would be the typical price for mail order rights?
$1,000. $1,000. $500. Nothing. You see, there's nothing deader than a dead book. If the book is not selling at all, this was a bestseller, at least on one list. If the book is not selling, the person sitting there with a warehouse full of books, and all his choice is the remainder of the book, and he's going to get like 33 cents for the book or 24 cents for the book from somebody, a remainder house. That's where the books that Bill gets in the used bookshops, which is another excellent source. That's why those books are in there for a dollar, because they only cost the guy 23 cents. When you go to him with a royalty deal where the possibility is that he could make money if you make money and you've got an automatic product already developed, printed, in some cases the format is good, and you have the right to change the format later, I mean, you've got the best of all worlds. And you go to him and say, look, I'll give you $100 for the royalty, for the $100 for the rights for the United States or the world. What's the guy? I mean, the guy's sitting there with a warehouse full of books. See, the biggest thing that's lacking in publishing are people that can sell books. That's the biggest thing that's lacking. And that's where all of you guys, some of you can make a fortune taking a book that's dead now, that's out of print, that can be revised, a lot of things, because the people that did it, that's why I got attracted, by the way, to the guy D. I started 19 companies before I got involved in publishing. The thing that attracted me the most is that most publishers can't sell anything. They're good at developing products, but they're not good at marketing the products. They handle it, in my view, in a way that I don't want to handle things. They sell things on consignment. The other thing I like about publishing is nobody buys a book for the publisher. People buy books for the subject matter. Do you know the publishers of the books in your library? You don't know who they are. You don't care. You buy books for the subject matter and the value. I like that, because then a little guy can come out of nowhere and have a national bestseller. Yes.
Ted, what about the price of the book, especially if it's a bestseller? Are you locked into their price, or do you negotiate that, or what?
Oh, I'm really glad you asked that. When I first started in business, I used to worry like mad because I knew that I had to let the market set the price for the book. So when I first came out with my book on incorporation, I was running four editions of the Wall Street Journal, one at $7.95, one at $9.95, one at $14.95, and one at $19.95 at that time, to let the market tell me what the price should be. I thought some government agent is going to come and take me away. And my customers are all going to call if they're traveling and get a Wall Street Journal and remember that they bought it for one price. The reality is, people don't remember. Running a price test, here's a difference in what you paid with the price test that we were testing in another market. And as a matter of fact, here's a bonus for your taking the trouble to have to write to us. So you send three letters a year, it costs you peanuts, you do it. No government agency. In other words, there's nothing wrong. The big companies price test, Procter & Gamble, you know, they do that. I also used to worry that I'm going to have one edition selling by mail for $69, and I'm going to have an edition in a bookstore selling for $29. I thought, people are going to wonder. And it's the same book, but one has a different cover than the other. Different color, different binder. A lot of you that have done business with my company know I sell a lot of forms books at $69, $79, $99, $129. And I have editions of those same books in bookstores for $39. We've never gotten one person that's ever complained about that. If people discuss that with us, we say we have a bookstore edition at $39, we have the mail order edition at $99. That's the truth. We have one edition at one edition at the other. Higher price, don't worry about it. The mail order edition should be at a higher price in most cases.
Ted?
Okay.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
I was wondering, have you ever taken a book and changed the title or changed the...
Fantastic question. Yes, all the time. When I first started in business, I used to try to be clever and cute with titles. A good example of that is one of the bestsellers that I wrote and published some years ago. It's called, when it first came out, it was called, How to, let's see, the first title, I know the best-selling title, but the first title was, How to Get Out If You're In Over Your Head. Okay? It was about how to get out of debt. Well, there was even a depiction on the cover with a swimmer on the cover. Well, everyone thought it was a book about swimming. The book was a total bomb. So I retitled the book, and it's called How to Get Out of Debt, which is what the book is about, and the book sold extremely well. Yes, if your title is wrong, don't be afraid to retitle it, print up a new edition. You know, don't print too many in advance if your title is great. But when you're titling the book, most people make a big mistake. The title should be like a headline. The title is critical, absolutely crucial, as crucial as a headline that you would write for a space ad or direct mail piece. Does that answer your question?
Ted, I'd like to backstep for a second on mail order rights. When you contact a publisher and you're interested in buying book rights, either for a bestseller or a book that's dead, would you give me a basic scenario? I call the editor or whoever is in charge. Do I say to them, I'm interested in buying the book rights, how much do you want? Or, I'm interested in buying the book rights, I'll give you $1,000 for them.
You say not quite either one of those things. You basically contact the publisher and say, I'd like to talk with the owner of the company if it's a small company, or if it's a big company, the rights editor. And you say, hi, I'm Ted Nicholas, and I'm interested in the possibility. I see you have this book. We're looking for a book. There's a lot of books on the market on this subject. But we're interested in the possibility of gaining the national mail order right. We're a direct marketing company, and we know how to market books through direct marketing, and we know that you people are not direct marketing specialists. Isn't that true? What are they going to say? And then you say, what we have in mind is running a test, either in direct mail or in space or both. And if that works, boy, can we sell books. I mean, thousands of copies of books. How many copies of the book have you sold, Mr. Wright's editor? If they're lucky, they'll say, 6,000 copies. And to them, it's a big seller. You say, if you're doing it, if you're not, we could say, well, many of our books have sold many hundreds of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of copies through direct mail. They'd say, really? You get their attention. Or if you're new in the business, you say, our techniques, be honest, because when I first started, I did the same thing. I hadn't sold hardly anything except my first book. You say, look, our techniques, if they're successful, and I can't guarantee you anything. Be honest. I can't guarantee it. But if our techniques, if they're successful, they can result in hundreds of thousands of sales. Now, are you interested in that kind of situation where you do what you're continuing to do? It doesn't affect what you're doing. In fact, as a matter of fact, what we're going to do is going to help you do what you do better. I mean, is that a deal you can't refuse or not? What would you do if you were the publisher and I approached you that way?
I'd say yes.
And so are they going to say yes? But, you know, you just be straightforward, and then you say, okay, well, what we would have in mind is we'll pay you an... But we want to put most of our money, this is what I would always use, and this is true, this is indeed true, we want to put most of our money in the marketing. Isn't that where you want to put your money, in the marketing? You want to pay these guys $80,000 advance? We want to put the money in the marketing. So our advance is going to be modest. But if our technique works, you're going to make a lot of money. Because an advance is only this, and you say, you know, I would then make a mental assessment. If it's a best-selling book, maybe offer them $1,000. We'll give you $1,000 advance. That gets their attention a little bit. Even a big company, you know, it's $1,000. It's not $10, you know. So we'll give you $1,000. But remember, it's only an advance against royalties. And our deal is 5% against royalty. In other words, we'll pay you 5% of our sales. So let's see, if we sell 100,000 copies a year, we're going to sell the book for $49. That's $4.5 million. Is that right? Or $4.5 million. You're going to make $250,000 in royalties. I don't want to oversell you. I don't want to oversell you because I can't promise you. We might be 10,000, maybe. That's how you do it. Make sense? What would you do? What would you do? You're the publisher. Where do I sign?
Sir, I'm not going to say no.
Not going to say.
What is the 5% off? The price you're charging for the book or the price?
I'm sorry. What is the 5% of the price you, who now have the are now promoting the book, get, or is it the 5% of their original cover price?
The price, the 5% is of the money received. Money received. Money received by Enterprise.
So if you're charging, let's say, $50 for simple math, and you'd get 5% of that, which would be what, $5?
$2.50.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Every time we sell a book, Mr. Publisher, you get $2.50. Plus the advertising. Plus we'll keep the book alive. Plus we'll do everything we can because we treat our authors and our books well, don't we? I mean, that's what, because they're what you want to nurture. They're the products that make you money. And you're in the toll position. You have the exclusive mail order rights. Or sometimes the publisher says, gee, I like this. It's wonderful. I'll sell you the rights for 5 years. You say, wonderful. 5 years. You have the rights for 5 years. In 5 years, you're going to be probably going on to something else, and that'll run its life cycle anyway. If somebody gives me the mail order rights forever, that's fine, too. You try to go for the...
Ted, can you build into your contract a change of title in an existing book from a publisher?
Yes, and we've done that too. Publishers just want to make money. Publishers just want to make money. If there isn't anything magical about the title. Matter of fact, a lot of books' titles are not very good, but the subject can be very good. They're not direct marketing, telegraphic, powerful knock your socks off titles like they have to be. So, yes, you tell the publisher, look, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to rip the cover, put it that way. But we would like to change the title to a more appropriate title for our marketing method. Do you have any problems with that, Mr. Publisher? No. Why should he? He's invested his money, sunk costs. He's lost his butt on the book anyway. See, the reality is 97% of the books the publishers lose money, 3% keep them in business. That's the reality. But you can find diamonds in the rough. You can find diamonds in the rough because they don't know how to push the hot buttons. See, the publishers use the shotgun approach. You use a rifle approach. The publishers double day. They publish 300 books a year. Authors come to me all the time. I've had many best-selling authors we publish. They come to me and they say, we want you to publish our book. I say, why are you coming to me? You're a double-day author. They're giving you $50,000 advance, $100,000. I'm not going to give you anything in advance. Why would you want to come to me? Because you can sell. These other publishers, I ask them where our marketing plans are. They don't even know where they are. They can't find the file. In other words, authors generally are very unhappy with their publishers, so... You are really a friend to the author and a friend to the publisher, and if you handle it right, you can get... The product is not your problem. Bill is absolutely right. Gary Halpert's right. Product is not the problem. I mean, it's a hurdle you have to reach. The bigger hurdle, the higher hurdle, is the marketing plan and how you're going to make this sell. How are you going to take something that didn't sell and make it into an attractive, saleable product? And it really has to do with the way you strategize your list, your ads, your headlines, your price strategy.
Ted, I was wondering, are you ever able to take a book and completely modify it, maybe do it in a three-ring binder, and have the publisher pick up the cost of doing that and provide you with the mail order package?
We've never had the publisher pick up the cost of that. We're happy to pick up the cost of that because it's peanuts. Put it in a three-ring binder. It's not that much money.
Changing the cover or anything? Does he ever get...
Well, I mean, you have to do a new printing, but we have good printing sources, and when I say peanut, in the context of what's at stake, you're not talking big dollars. You know, like we would buy binders for $1.97 and print the contents for $1.50, and you print up 300 for the first test, or, you know, it's not that big a deal. I mean, and you total it all up, well, you may have a nationwide, you know, product. It's not, we would do that ourselves. We never ask them. First of all, you deal with the bigger publishers, it's like dealing with the government. Nobody knows what they're doing, nobody's motivated, they don't answer their phone, you know, they're in meetings, you know, that kind of nonsense. It's better to just get the rights and go off and do your thing. And
I want to say something here about printing, because if you don't know about printing, it kind of scares you. If you get the rights to a book and you want to reprint it, our first book, which is just the back issues of our newsletter, we contacted several printers, carrying called around. We found one on the East Coast, and he gave us, our book's 104 pages long. The price was $1.21 per copy. That's with a slick cover. That book is in your box, by the way. That was for $2,500, and then we said, we don't need $2,500, and he said, it's cheaper to print $2,500, and he said, I'll do this. Pay me a third up front, a third in 30 days, and the remainder in 60 days. And I said, you mean you're going to give us the books before we pay you anything? He said, yeah, that's the way we do business. And actually, that's the way they do business. If you have any kind of reputable credit at all, printers will do that, because they make money printing books. They want you to make books. By the way, I've got a couple thousand of those books. If anybody's interested in buying the rights, I still have those available.
That's one that didn't work.
Actually, it did work, because we sell the books for $50 a piece, and if you only pay $1.21 for them, you don't have to sell many to break even.
For sure.
And then we also use them as premiums. We use them as premiums here at this seminar. We use them as a part of some of the other packages we sell. Tim Scarborough was the person we talked to, and the phone number is 313-665-6113. Obviously, we use different types of printers. Our local printer handles our newsletter and all our direct mail offers, but our local printer is set up to do that, where the big book printers are set up to do primarily books. So don't, in most cases, your local printer is not going to be set up to print books at a reasonable price for you. Although our local printer printed all our, we had several other books in the market that did go into ring binders, which they did print.
Hi, Ted. Is this on? Yeah, good. Do you have any figures on how many people actually read your books? I mean, don't most people buy books as an insurance policy and put them on the shelf?
Well, I don't have exact figures, but unquestionably, a lot of people buy books for a feeling of comfort, to fulfill a dream, as a reference source. I don't have any figures. My instincts would say that there's probably 60 or 70% that read every word, and 20% that scan it, and 10% that just read a few of the chapter headings. I mean, I don't know the answer to that question. A lot of people have said to me over time, don't you, you're selling the American dream to a large extent. How do you feel about the fact that everyone doesn't act on it? And I say, I feel really good to give someone the opportunity to act on it. I mean, you can't, as an author, as a publisher, as an entrepreneur who's involved in the communications business, you can only communicate ideas that work, but you can't make people, force people to use them or read your books. Or I know there's millions of copies of my books in circulation, and it's the gratifying part is to hear from the people that do use the books and do use and all the stories that they tell you, and you feel that you're playing some small part in their lives, or you may have been the catalyst for them to do something very important for them. I mean, that's very rewarding for me.
Stand up.
Would you stand up?
Suppose you told me to go out and find us a book right now and we'll publish it. Where do I start? How do I go? Where do I go?
Cold well, it's Gary.
I know nothing about it. See, I got to find a book now.
Well, as Gary Halpert was saying earlier, the techniques that have already been covered here, I'd first look at the best-selling lists of books, look at the list of bestsellers. There's a publication in your library called Books in Print. There is the used bookstore, or your bookstore is a wealth. It can be a wealth of information. Get real friendly. What I do is, you know, part of my philosophy of life is I spend time trying to cultivate the relationships of people that are very important to me that I notice most people don't cultivate relationships with. For example, people in my health club, people that make my life better, enhance the quality of my life. And one of the people that make my life a lot better is my favorite bookstore manager. And I say, look, she knows I'm an author and I'm interested in books. I go in there and I find out what books are selling. What are people asking for? Are people asking for anything they're not selling? This is market research. Are people asking for books that are not there? Are any problems with these people bringing books back? I mean, what's going on with them in their life? They've got a tough job. They've got in the United States, 60 to 70,000 books are published every year. There's about 700,000 or 800,000 books written that never get published because they can't find publishers, because the publishers are venture capitalists. So you've got to use a combination. You've got to be curious. One of the things I like about Bill Myers is he's a very curious person. He listens to, he's a good active listener. He listens to cable television. He reads newsletters. He listens when people that are knowledgeable about certain things speak. You know? You develop a curiosity and awareness of what's going on in the world. Read Reader's Digest. Look for trend. Read People magazine. See what's hot. See what the gossip is. Read National Enquirer. You know, those techniques.
I've got a question. It's about advertising. I'm interested in knowing more about the card decks you spoke about.
Card decks. I mentioned card decks. Card decks have been one of the best alternative sources of marketing for enterprise publishing. As you may or may not know, there's about 600 or 700 card decks published in the United States. Indeed, Enterprise Publishing published a card deck of our own for many years. As a list cleaning, we would use card decks to clean the list, keep the list clean. Because unlike a newsletter that's publishing all the time, books are one-shot sales. And card decks, we've run for many years $79 to $99 products, cash up front, in card decks. Almost no one does that. The reason they don't, they make several common mistakes. They're successful in direct marketing through space or direct mail. They're going to do a card deck. The card decks are not as expensive as mailings and direct mail, as mailings and space ads are generally. So what they do is they hire the third assistant copywriter that they can find, or they hire the new junior person in the office, or if they're not very good copywriters, they do it themselves, or they hire some copywriter that doesn't charge much, and they write the copy, and the card fails, and they say, card decks are no good, they don't work. Well, we see with a card deck, that's the wrong approach. A card deck, you've got to have the very best tested copy that works in direct mail or space, because you have limited space. So you've got to have the very best. The person that wrote card decks in my company is me. Me, personally. I didn't write it. You know, I wouldn't hire anyone who I wouldn't hire for a big campaign to write. I wouldn't hire a giant. You need the best approach. Now, if you have the best copy you have distilled. Now, see, what we would do, test in direct mail and space. When it works, we would boil down, which is an art, boil down that copy to the card deck. It has to be edited down in a very careful way because you have to use your very best sales points, and you can make a successful product sell like crazy in card decks. And there are card decks that go out to yourself, engineers, engineering firms, sales and marketing card decks, accounting people that are accountants, insurance people, and so on. Card decks reach, and believe it or not, top executives who make a lot of money thumb through. I personally like going through card decks because I'm a direct mail, heavy purchaser of direct mail. I always have been ever since I was a kid with Tom Mix rings. I mean, I like getting things in the mail, and it's also part of my profession. So card decks are a great alternative source for you to run your successful products in. In Standard Rate and Data, Standard Rate and Data has a whole directory of card decks in the United States, the same outfit that publishes on the lists. They have a thing with card decks in there. So don't rule out card decks as a way of marketing. It's another way of marketing. Other people, if your explanation has to be longer than a card deck, then have your best two-step approach. Have your best two-step approach and have your people write into you or call, and then send them your best full-blown approach. That's the other way you can work. You can work two steps. I always like one step's better if possible because it's quicker, faster, you get your money faster. But if it does, if you can't make it work that way, you may have to go on a two-step approach. Make sense, card deck? Does that add up? Of course, it depends on the card deck, but card decks,
you know, may cost you $800, $900, $1,000, $1,200 to reach like 200,000 people, you know, big. And as long as we get $2,001 back, we're very happy. Now, a lot of the card decks, we would spend $2,000 and get back $5,000, $3,000, $4,000, depends. Percentages and all that, forget it. Don't trouble yourself. It doesn't mean anything. What only that counts is the bottom line. Percentages, all those people that quote percentages of what's the average and all that, don't trouble yourself with it. It's nonsense, because percentages are weighted the wrong way and all that. Don't worry about it. The only thing that counts is, are you making money or not? Are you paying your bills? And are you adding a name to the mailing list that you can sell other things to?
Ted, if I assume that you don't do anything with fiction bestsellers. You stick with picking off the rights of a nonfiction, since you focus on business-type books.
Is correct. I focused on business books, but I've done several non-business books as well. I did a book on health that my former wife did called Total Glow that was a bestseller that dealt with exercise, relaxation, and meditation techniques. I'm doing now a book, the company that we're still distributing it through the new company is called The New Primal Screen by Dr. Arthur Janoff, that deals with a therapy approach that's been very successful, controversial one, that the Beatles, John Lennon was involved with in the 20 years ago and so on.
So do you shoot those, when you pick up a book like that and it's going to sell in the, those kind of books are, what, $20 range or something like that, do you find that it is worth attempting a direct mail offer, or do you stick with classifieds in publications like, I don't know, Redbook or Better Housekeeping or?
I always do something direct marketing-wise with everything I sell. So I always attempt to do that, either through SpaceAd or through direct mail or one or both of those. I've never published a book that I didn't do a direct marketing approach as well with other. That particular book has a big demand in bookstores, so I like things that are easy too, because the author came to me and we made a deal and I distributed in bookstores, and he already has a big name in bookstores. People go in and buy his books because he's written about 7 or 8 books before that were bestsellers. His book 20 years ago was the bestseller in 18 countries. So he came to me and I got to the position where every once in a while I can take a flyer and do something else outside the normal business-to-business area, basically. Kind of a fun project, there may or may not make money kind of a thing. I think it's better to exploit, I mean, your primary effort should be to capture a particular market within that market, expand within that market, and don't go off in 100 other markets. It's better to concentrate there first, and then when you get really successful, then you can tread lightly and fail forward in other markets a little bit.
I want to say something about books. In your box, there's a publication called Book Marketing Update. Primarily, it's received by authors, people who have books that they want to sell. In last month's issue, there was the majority part of the editorial was about the fact that many authors have a hard time getting their books, finding anybody to sell their books, because the major retail chains will only carry the ones on the bestseller list, and the publishers don't want to promote books because most books fail. And the problem is, or the fact is, in this country, there are a lot more writers than there are sellers. And if you're interested in finding books to sell, you might want to write the editor of Book Publishing Update or Book Publishing Report and tell them you want to buy the rights. Or run an ad in there saying, I'm interested in buying the rights to any out-of-date or any a non-published book, because there are a lot of people who are writing and aspiring writers who write lots and lots and lots of books that never get more than one copy printed and are looking for somebody to publish it for them. And a lot of those books could be tremendously marketable, just like the master's theses at the colleges. You know, everybody writes these master's theses. A lot of them can be turned right into books. So there are a lot of writers out there who want their books published, and they really don't want it for the money, although they, you know, everybody dreams of money. They want it for the fame.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah, there's a lot more writers. There's a lot more people that are editors and writers that have product that just can't either get it published, or they haven't gotten it published, or writers are a lot more plentiful than people that can market. The marketers and the marketing is the most difficult part. Is this in the plan, Bill? Because I was... Okay.
Well,
What price range book do you have to market to make it profitable for you?
The quick answer to that is anything that makes money. The longer answer is, it's very rare for books to make money in direct marketing that are below 1995, although it still is done. There's some books that sell on a direct basis at $12.95, $14.95, but it's tough. You got to have a really big market, big audience, and a great ad. I'd say that the range, the low range I would stay with would be the $19-$20 area to the $100 area. I mean, I would be in that range. And $39, $49, $59, $69, $79 area is good. Of course, it depends on the subject, the market, the nature of it, how it's done, how it's packaged, how it's presented. Now, this is book only. If you're talking video, tapes, that's a different story. You can then talk about at least $100, $99 I like is a good price point. Price points are very important, what price you sell at.
Ted, what if this were a piece of software that somebody had and it was either old or you failed miserably with it or whatever, and you somehow want to pick this thing up and sell it? Okay, what is a typical arrangement you could work out with someone who's got software?
Same as a book. I would approach it same as a book. I've never bought I've developed a lot of software for books that I sell, but I've never bought software that way. My instincts would tell me that you have the same thing with software. If it's not selling, if they haven't found a way to market it, it's worth virtually zero. The reality is, the tough reality is worth zero, because it's dead. It's sitting there dying, gathering dust. If you go in there and make a deal on a royalty basis with someone, it's better than nothing for them. No matter what you give them is better than nothing. So very similar to what I would do with a book. That's how I would approach software. If I had a reason right now to buy software or to go after it, that's how I would do it. If it was a nationwide bestseller, now, then of course the rights would be worth a lot and you'd have to negotiate and so on. But in your scenario, I would approach it very similar to the book.
Ted's absolutely right on that. As I told you, I used to write programs, computer programs, and had actually written the first Medicaid program. But after not making money, that I wrote some software which I direct mailed in magazines. And I, this is the first time I thought about it. I wrote that software 8 years ago, and it was a series of actually 300 programs in one program, and a master menu that had 20 sub-menus that went to another 300 master menus. And it was really, all it was just routines that did calculations, break-even analysis and stuff. And I learned my lesson because I sold it at $9 and couldn't sell it in the 19 and 39. We actually sold a bunch at 49, and I still got the masters of that, and I haven't ever sold that program since then. And if somebody offered me $250 for the rights, I'd just give it to them because it's been 10 years since I thought about it. It's the same way I've got a lot of people in here that have been marketing stuff like Carl, and other people in here have books or tapes or audio cassettes that they market and that they just kind of forgot about or are sitting on their shelves. And and Ted used this term, it's found money. When you walk through my studios and offices tomorrow, if you see a product that you'd like to market that I own the rights to, make me an offer. And I believe anybody who has a product that they're not marketing will say the same thing. Oh, if you look, I've got the DAC and the Daymark catalogs here. You know, I mentioned Q&A as a good database. The current issue of Q&A is $400, but you can buy one version back for $39. I've got the catalog up here. Same way with Word. If you'll buy one generation back, the program that was selling for $400, you can buy it for $39 now. And it is the same program that was selling for $400 6 months ago, but you can buy it today for $39 because the company doesn't want to market anymore. They've got the new one out. Carl.
Yeah, there's something interesting about this that Haldeman Julius found now. He's the guy who sold a few hundred million of the little 5 cent little blue books I was talking about the other day. In his book, he documented that there were certain books he considered out of 100 million of these little blue books he sold in 1 year, he considered that a title was successful if it sold 10,000 copies or more. And he had something like 1,200 or 1,300 titles. All he did is listed the title of the book in the ad, nothing more. So he could tell that people were buying just from those titles. Well, he took the ones that were not selling 10,000 or more, and to try to revive them, what he did is change the title on them. He took some classics that he had a lot of classics in his repertoire that weren't selling, and he took a classic that wasn't selling, changed the title, and in some cases it would double, triple, and quadruple the sales into the 10,000 and more category. So something to learn from that is don't just look for a book that you'd like to sell, but perhaps the reason that book wasn't selling so well was because it didn't have a good title. So perhaps look for a book that's maybe selling despite it's got a bad title, and try experimenting around with the title. Now, the way you do that real cheaply is you promote a series of reports that have different titles to them. You inexpensively put together a 2-, 3-, 4-page report and sell it for just a few dollars, because you want somebody to vote with their dollars, not to free say, yeah, I'd buy their without paying anything. You have them vote with their dollars. Look to this title that sells real well.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
I'd like to make a couple suggestions here. You know, we've talked a lot about books. I mean, it's tremendous that Ted Nicholas, the man who's going to put on a $7,500 seminar next month, is willing to spend a whole afternoon telling us secrets that I know are going to make me money and I hope going to make you money. Using what he said, first of all, how many people in here have not been in a library in the last 30 days? What you need to do is find you a weekend where you can take your wife or your sweetheart to the largest library within about 200 miles and check into a motel close to the library, and preferably a university library, a big college library, or a library of record is what they call them, where there's lots and lots and lots and lots of books. And put on your collegiate clothes and go through that library and walk up and down the aisles and look at all the book titles, especially the books that have been printed 10 or 15 years ago, as well as the current books. And look at all those titles and realize that there are literally hundreds of thousands of books out there, especially the older books, that are available to you. And we did some information in a previous newsletter I did, and I wanted to contact the author of a book, and I contacted the publisher, and they said they haven't handled the book in 10 years, and they thought the author lived in New York City, and they really weren't sure, but for me to give it a try. So I called New York Information. I talked to about 7 people, the same last name, and finally found the lady who wrote the book. She was 72 and in ill health, and she was just overwhelmed that someone had called her about this book she'd written 15 years ago. And she asked me for one of the rights, which I didn't want. Being a fool, I wasn't into marketing that time. I just wanted to interview the author of this book. But you will find people like that whose lives have changed, and now they would be glad to sell you the rights because she's got an old dusty manuscript and no one interested in publishing this book. So don't forget, get out and walk in libraries. Now, we're going to break here in about 10 minutes for the evening, and this is going to give you an opportunity to go out and see Hot Springs. It's going to give you an opportunity to go to the used bookstores around Hot Springs. It's going to give you an opportunity to go to the wholesale bookstore at the Outlet Mall. It's going to give you an opportunity to go to the mall itself. But when you get out and walk around, keep your eyes open for products, because you've learned that products are everywhere. It's easy to come up with a good product because they are everywhere. All you have to do is keep your eyes open. Ted, I'm going to let you continue.
Yes, I just, before we run out of time, several people have asked me about my book, The Golden Mailbox, and how you get it. I hadn't memorized. When I sold my publishing company, I sold the rights to the book to a company in Chicago called Dearborn Financial Publishing. Their telephone number, in case anybody's interested, is as follows. My next-door neighbor has been asking me for 3 days here. It's 1-800-322-8621. It's called The Golden Mailbox. Now, I'm working with them on their direct marketing, I haven't worked on training their incoming, their inbound staff. They may say to you, the book is sold out. The book is sold really well. The book is sold out, but a new edition is going to be off press in about 2 weeks. If they tell you that, it's $39.95 plus $3 postage and handling. If they tell you it's sold out and you want to order it, just order it anyway and tell them you want to be one of the first ones to get the new edition. I also wanted to talk with Bill at lunchtime about, a lot of people have been asking me about my seminar and the seminar offer. I just thought I'd quickly, I'm conducting the first U.S. seminar, and maybe the last, because I'm not sure what I want to do with the rest of my life yet. I'm still putting that together. I did, as I mentioned to some of you, I did the first seminar I ever done in Switzerland. I enjoyed it. It was great. It was dealing with a lot of the top direct marketers there. And I'm doing the first one in the United States in Clearwater, Florida, June 24th to June 28th. For those of you that were, I know it's close to this seminar and it's a big investment if it's tight on the budget, I understand that. But if it's something you want to consider, I'd be delighted to have people from this seminar come there. The seminar is $7,500. Two people can come, though, for the price of the $7,500. There's a money-back guarantee on the seminar because, basically, I cover in the first day the very thing that people ask me, have been asking me for 20 years, how do you make space work? And one of the big things that I cover that's never been covered before in any seminar, to my knowledge, is how you make space advertising financially profitable, because the top companies in the United States all try it and they can't do it, by and large. And a lot of entrepreneurs try it and they fail. And what I teach in the first day are the techniques of how to negotiate. You're not going to make it. And what people do is, what people on the rate card that says $10,000, very often I'll buy that same space for $2,500, $3,000. I only have to do $5,000 or $6,000 and I've doubled my money, whereas the guy that pays $10,000 has got to do $12,000 or $15,000. It's very difficult to make money in space when you pay the full rate. But most people don't know how to approach the negotiations of that, and that's what the first thing that I teach the first day. Because with the greatest ad and the greatest product, you're generally going to fail. So I just wanted to briefly tell you about the seminar. Then we cover techniques about how I go about developing headlines, copy, benefits, the offer, price testing, a lot of things that in going in depth into people. It's a very workshop-oriented thing, and we work with a relatively small group. But when you leave there, you have a finished ad for your product. I believe most people are better at doing their own copy and marketing, because that's where you're going to make the most, you're going to make money if you market effectively. So that's what the whole seminar is all about. And it would be my pleasure to have any of you guys that would be so inclined to join me there. The mailing piece that went out, those of you that have a copy, it's a letter with an RSVP form in it. And the letter repeats the headline. Our style is the letter repeats the headline that's on the outside of the envelope. Learn the jealously guarded secrets of the most successful magazine advertiser in the country. And what the letter does or attempts to do is it refers people to all the headlines and all the ads. A lot of you that have responded, that have bought my products, have responded to the very ads that are in the letter. We spend time in the seminar looking and analyzing what qualities in those ads work. We look at ads that haven't worked. We analyze what it is that does or doesn't work. We also go into in-depth the development of the sale of each of the products or services that are already proven successful products, or the markets that would give indication that the product or service has a high degree of success. Any questions about that? Okay, that's all I had to say. Thank you very much.
Yes, now, how many people think Ted just made him a lot of money by telling you about the books? I mean, I agree that Ted just made me a lot of money. I want to thank him.
Thank you.
Before we break, Bond Halbert, Bond, would you stand up and walk up here? In the morning, we're going to pass out a list. For those of you, I talked to you earlier that I wasn't going to pass out a list of attendees because you might want to remain confidential or keep some of your privacy. Well, what we decided to do in the morning, we're going to pass out a list. Attendees and guests who choose to can put down their name, their address, their phone number, any type of networking information you want to put about skills or products that you may have to offer. And we will put that on the computer and provide a complete database through the mails. And we'll actually mail this to the address you put so that other people in this room who may want to come in contact with you can. We will provide you in a letter following this seminar the names and addresses of all the experts who spoke here or participated in this event. Right, we're not going to give it to them until after. We're going to mail it to them. And we're going to let Bond speak. And when you watch Bond move and speak, notice how much he acts like Gary. I don't know if that's a compliment.
It's not. All I wanted to say was make an announcement that everybody who was up in my dad's room earlier today at lunch that we were talking about the Social Security project with, I'd like you guys to stay in this room and meet with me so that we can work it all out, and that's about it. Thanks. Right here.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you right now what we're going to do tomorrow so that you're aware of what's going to happen. First of all, in the morning, we're going to spend most of the morning talking about the mechanics. Mechanics this time is going to mean things like timing a mailing, what day is the best day to mail, what day is the worst day to mail, timing for your customers, what's the day you want them to receive the letter. We're going to talk about folding, how your letter should be placed in an envelope, the size of the envelope, the weight of the paper, the pieces that fit inside the envelope, all the mechanics like that. And then in the afternoon, those of you who choose to can go over to our studios and actually watch what our operation looks like, what our library looks like, what the video studio looks like, what our order entry system looks like. We're going to space that out so 150 people don't show up at the same time. We're also going to talk about a couple of other products tomorrow. And any questions you have, we're going to have an open period where you can ask the experts. We're going to all have them up here. And I'm also going to, hopefully, we're going to have a photo opportunity where we can get all the experts on the stage, and you can have your photograph taken with them, so if any of them commit heinous crimes in the future, you can circle them and say, that's me standing with axe murderer or whoever the person was. Anyway, this is kind of like an early break because I want you to be able to enjoy the time up here. We have a question.
Words that we should never ever use.
The words, that's a good question. The words that you should never use. I've got back here books that I'm going to show you. Words that you should never use in an offer, and words that you should use in an offer. And we're going to go over some of those tomorrow. That's a good point. And I want you, tomorrow we'll have a good 2-hour question and answer feedback opportunity for everybody here. And tomorrow's going to be relatively flexible. Is anybody leaving early tomorrow? If you're leaving early tomorrow, be sure to come and let us know, because if you do want to get involved in a photo opportunity or you want to see the studios early, we do want to schedule that. And I want you all to have a good evening. Why don't you eat dinner with somebody you haven't eaten dinner with tonight? I mean, meet somebody else. Don't just stay with the same 2 or 3 people. Get out and meet some other people, because what you'll discover is that a lot of the people in here that are participants are experts in something that they probably don't realize they're experts in, and you may be able to market them. I'll see you all in the morning at 9 o'clock.